Right. I regret to inform you, the President of the United States seems to be on some sort of manic tirade this morning. He called into CNBC to talk to Joe Kernan. You know, the same Joe Kernan that Pete Buttigieg debated on air a few weeks ago and totally owned, but that's besides the point. Joe Kernan got a 20-minute interview with Donald Trump over the phone. It quickly went to 25 minutes, then 30 minutes, and before you know it, Donald Trump said, let's extend this further, and Trump yapped on for 40 minutes straight about the most deranged BS possible, saying that if he were in charge during Vietnam, he would have won the war, saying that they're basically at a deal, they're about to achieve a deal, but also that Iran is not taking this seriously enough, but also that Iran is begging for a deal. I mean, complete contradictory remarks coming from our delusional president early this morning. Makes me wonder if he was on some sort of upper this morning, but to add some surrounding context, today is negotiation day. J.D. Vance is heading over to Pakistan for round two of the negotiations, and Trump is very clearly feeling the stakes and very clearly trying to have any narrative control by ranting, yapping, and exposing his delusion live on air. Let's just start with the most viral clip thus far. Trump says he would have won Vietnam in like 45 minutes. He would have won Vietnam very quickly. Make sure you drop a like to help boost our pro-democracy message at a time when the algorithms seem to incentivize the most random, radical, far-right stuff we are pushing with a pro-democracy, human dignity-led message on the Adam Mockler feed. So drop a like and subscribe to join the community. Thank you all.
And when it's over, and it will end, when it's over, you know, they want it to be over immediately, and I just looked at a little chart. World War I, 4 years and 3 months. World War II, 6 years. Korean War, 3 years. Vietnam, 19 years. Iraq, 8 years. I'm 5 months, okay? 5 months. I would have won Vietnam very quickly. I would have, if I were president, I would have won Iraq in the same amount of time that we won, because essentially we've won here, okay? I mean, people can play games. The Democrats can say, well, we should have done better, no matter what. If I did it in 1 week, they should have said, they'd say, we should have done better. Look at Venezuela. I took it over in 45 minutes. It was basically a 45-minute, by the way, a very strong military country.
You want to know what he was actually doing during Vietnam? He was alive, by the way. He was also a grown man during Vietnam. He was drafting the dodge over and over and over because he doesn't actually want to put himself in harm's way. Listen, I don't want to be in harm's way, but I also don't want our leaders to be sending young men and women out to war in the Middle East or in Venezuela when they themselves don't know what it's like and don't know what the stakes are like. So this idea that Donald Trump could have ended any of these wars is so absurd. And if it were true, can he just take that energy over to Russia and Ukraine for one moment? It has been stalled. He has been stalled on Russia and Ukraine, stalled on Israel and Gaza, has not been able to solve the war that he started in Iran for the past 7 weeks when he said it was going to be a 4 to 5 week timeline. He is getting us into a deeper and deeper mess, and we're supposed to believe that he could have ended or won the Vietnam War in 45 minutes? There's just no shot. Okay. It then gets even more absurd. Trump continues to rant about his non-existent deal with Iran. And just for some context, J.D. Vance is heading over to Islamabad, Pakistan for a second round of peace talks today. The first round failed. Donald Trump wasn't really humiliated himself because J.D. Vance was the one who went, but we all know that Trump wasn't able to achieve the deal. Then heading into the second one, there were a bunch of mixed messages. There were a bunch of messages like J.D. Vance is going, he's on the way, he's not going, now he's going again. People were very confused until we realized that J.D. Vance is heading out today and that Trump doesn't even seem to know what's happening. He's not coordinating. He's being locked out of the room by his generals. It's all an absurd mess. I mean, remember, there's a story that when the downed fighter pilots were being rescued in Iran, the generals didn't let Trump in the room. They said they're going to keep him in a different room because he's too emotional and angry and rash right now, and we need to have steady-handed, calm leaders. So it's just absurd. Let's watch this clip of Donald Trump talking about the war with Joe Kernan. And remember, Trump yaps for 40 minutes straight during this interview. I'm not going to play the full 40 minutes. I don't want to torture you all. But I do have about, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of highlights that I want to show you because this is deranged stuff.
You are very welcome. Can you give us, I think it's on everyone's mind, the latest on where the Iran negotiations stand? We now know Tehran has publicly confirmed that it will send representatives to the meeting. with Vice President Vance. What do you expect? What are you hearing at this point, sir?
Well, as I said 2 days ago when they said they won't send them, I said they'll be sending them. They have no choice but to send them. What I think is that we're going to end up with a great deal. I think they have no choice. We've taken out their Navy. We've taken out their Air Force. We've taken out their leaders, frankly, which does complicate things in one way. But
Trump has been saying the same lines for 2 months about their Air Force, their Navy, their leaders. I've debunked it on this show hundreds of times that their Air Force was 50 years old and we took out the wrong Navy because all that matters is the Strait of Hormuz. And the Strait of Hormuz is not only closed, but Iran has more incentive to gain control of it than ever. They know that the United States can't really do anything when they begin to aim things at the Strait of Hormuz, and Trump got outmaneuvered. I mean, he didn't even check out the war games.
These leaders are much more rational. It is regime change, no matter what you want to call it, which is not something I said I was going to do, but I've done it, indirectly maybe, but I've done it.
It's not regime change. The regime still exists. And it's despicable. To continue, Donald Trump then begins to rant about the Strait of Hormuz.
Successfully, and the blockade has been a tremendous success. They said two days ago, we will open the Strait. I said, no, we're not going to open the Strait until we have a final deal. No, we want to open the Strait. They said, we're not opening. We totally control the Strait, just so you understand, for all the fake news out there.
And then how come after Donald Trump announced the Strait was open on Friday, 24 hours later, it was completely closed? Throughout the entire weekend, zero ships passed through, except for some that got shot, like a French ship that got shot at, an Indian ship that got shot at, then also apparently some like Carnival cruise was able to speed through it, which is really weird. But other than that, no cargo was able to get through because Iran still does have control. The reality of what's happening is Iran has two separate navies. Their conventional navy, which the United States destroyed, it was like 50 years old. It's not that impressive. Then they have a secondary navy called the IRGC Navy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy. That consists of suicide boats, mines. It consists of drones and missiles that they can point at the Strait. They don't even have to actually do any damage. If they just threaten to shoot at boats and send drones to blow up boats, that threat is enough to deter anybody from going through. It's a very serious threat. Any tanker that gets hit, that's like billions, potentially billions of dollars of cleanup. An oil spill is no joke whatsoever. Joe Kernan then begins to glaze Trump and praise him and say, I know how much you respect the people.
100 days of the largest protests in Iran since the revolution in 1979. And I know how much you respect and admire and are concerned with the Iranian people.
Give me a break. He threatened to wipe out the civilization, never to come back again. What are we talking about?
I think in large degree, one of the reasons you decided to embark on this whole thing, maybe among other things, but the timing was right. If we get close in negotiations right now, but the deadline for the ceasefire is tomorrow, if it looks like things are progressing, will you not necessarily extend it to a definitive amount of time, but will you let it keep going if there's progress in the talks before taking...
Well, I don't want to do that. We don't have that much time because by the time both parties get there, as you know, they just got the okay to go forward, which I knew they were going to do anyway. I mean, I don't think they had a choice. They have to negotiate, and you know...
I then want to show you the moment that Joe Kernan and Trump begin to argue a bit about what the inflation rate was when Biden left office. Spoiler alert, it was 3%. It was 3% when Biden left office. Actually, maybe around 2.9%. And then it went up when Trump took office, especially after Liberation Day. Trump has to claim that it was higher than it was because he actually raised it.
I just want to return for 1 second and make an analogy here. You saw what inflation did to the Biden legacy and administration. So 22% price increases. By the time he was leaving, it was down to about where it is now, about 3%. But not
no,
a
wasn't.
Single.
It was down to 5%. It wasn't down.
Well,
to 3%.
Or three. But not a single.
And the reason
person,
it was down was because I had won the election and it started right. falling after I won the election, and I started getting prices down from right after November 5th.
If you.
And then there's no more pushback. I made the same point during a debate on CNN, and it went super viral. Watch.
them to roll back some of the benefits that they've been getting from the Trump administration. I'm going to give back my $400 million airplane, or I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to put that in the pot. The president hasn't done anything to ask of his friends to put in the pot. They're only asking of the American people to pay more at the gas.
Okay, wait, really quickly, a few things. Trump doesn't take his salary, but he's made $4 billion on cryptocurrency. Also, I'm honestly kind of impressed at Donald Trump's handling of the economy so far. I'm impressed with what he's done with it. He's taken an economy that was steady-handed when Joe Biden was leaving.
Steady-handed? That's why Joe Biden lost.
Wait, what was the inflation rate when Joe Biden left?
I don't know. I just know that
it was 2.9%. We now have predictions that it's going to go up to 5%. We think that unemployment is going to keep skyrocketing due to this. Gas prices are skyrocketing. That means people have less money to spend on other things. I have a good idea too. Why don't we cut taxes for the richest so that we have less revenue coming in, and then we cut Medicaid for the poorest so that we can justify that, and then we go to war in the Middle East so we increase our debt even further, even though we haven't learned from the fact that we added $8 trillion to our debt from the last Middle Eastern wars, and then we will continue to pay $1 trillion per year on interest so it compounds for our generation. That was obviously sarcasm. So That's not my answer. All right, then Joe Kernan gives Donald Trump a chance to say that he doesn't actually want to commit war crimes, but Trump doubles down.
I think regimes only respond to certain things, and I understand your threats to bomb the bridges in the electric grid, but I don't think the regime cares about the people of Iran. And if you did that, I'm sure it's the last thing you'd probably want to do, but it would hurt at least some of the people that we care about and why we embarked on this in the first place.
Oh my, this is the softest pushback ever. He's basically saying, hey, old man, how do you say you care for the civilians when you're also threatening to wipe out their infrastructure? You don't really want to do that, right? And Trump doesn't take the off-ramp.
So that would be, I'm sure, a last resort for you.
It's not my choice, but it will also hurt them. It will hurt them militarily. They use the bridges for their weapons, for their missile movements. You know, they're trying to move the missiles because we've obliterated most of their missiles, and they're trying to move their missiles around, even during the ceasefire, which I think was a good thing because we're totally loaded up. We have so much ammo. We have so much.
All right. So this is like an Adderall-filled Donald Trump going on CNBC early in the morning when negotiations are about to take place while J.D. Vance is on his way to Pakistan because he wants narrative control very, very badly. He then starts talking about how the United States has been boarding ships. I mean, this is all just deranged lunacy, fantastical ranting, starting with the clip of him saying he would have won Vietnam, all the way with him saying he's winning the war, they're about to reach a deal, inflation was 5%. It wasn't.
And we caught a ship yesterday that had some things on it which wasn't very nice, a gift from China perhaps, I don't know, but I was a little surprised, but because I have a very good relationship and I thought I had an understanding with President Xi, but that's all right, that's the way war goes, right? But I will tell you that we have, our military is incredible, what we've done. I mean,
our military is doing good work. They're good at what they do, but the leadership at the very top is faulty. At the top of the chain of command, it is faulty. Pete Buttigieg said it best. Pete Buttigieg is a veteran, and he said when he went out to war, he just wanted to know that the person above him in the command chain and the person above them cared about him. And if he were going to war right now, he wouldn't actually be able to be sure of that. Does the leader care about him? I don't think so.
So to be clear, you're saying that you need at least the prospects for a signed deal today and tomorrow, or else you would resume bombing Iran.
Well, I expect to be bombing because I think that's a better attitude to go in with. But we're ready to go. I mean, the military is raring to go. They are absolutely incredible. You know, I built the military in my first term.
Stop. He didn't build the military. I'm sorry to keep pausing it. Did you hear what he said? He expects to be bombing. That's where he wants to go with it. The military is raring to go. So he doesn't even want to de-escalate. He is ready to start bombing if a deal is not reached, and that is despicable. What he's trying to do is gain ultimate leverage to threaten the Iranians, but it's just not working. Here's him talking about the 13 men that they've lost.
I mean, if you look at this, what we've suffered in terms of losses, we lost 13 men, and that's terrible. I wish we didn't lose one.
Oh, let's see if he starts to downplay the 13 men being lost. So I guarantee he'll start to downplay it. Listen.
If somebody would have said, we've done this and obliterated that country, obliterated it, and we lost 13 men, people would have said, that's not possible to have done that. It's not possible.
Well,
so we've done a great job, and I don't want to be rushed by people that are really treasonous, as far as I'm concerned, where they're And it's just, you know, I watch this low IQ guy, Hakeem Jeffries. He's a totally low IQ person. And he's always ranting and raving, oh, this war is so terrible, terrible. They shouldn't be saying that when we're in the midst of a negotiation, because it does hurt us somewhat. It gives the other side some hope. And I don't want them to have hope.
All he's saying is that this war was illegal and unconstitutionally started, and that our leadership at the very top is having bad decision-making processes. That doesn't give the other side any sort of leverage. The other side already knows this exact thing. Trump then, in a very narcissistic way, goes, you know what? You can have 20 more minutes of my time. My people said we'd only have 20 minutes, but I'm going to give you some more of my time. Like, dude, have you ever considered? I mean, this is good stuff for Joe Kernan, who loves Trump himself, I guess.
Well, I'm going to give Becky a chance, Mr. President, to get you to...
And you can have some extra time. I know my people said 20 minutes, but you can have some extra time.
Oh, thank you.
That's good.
You can even put Andrew on the phone. You know, you told me Andrew would not be there. And I said, I don't care.
That was last week.
You could even put Andrew on.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You know, Joe made a comment to me. When he tried to get me on, he said, I promise I'll have Andrew Ross talking. He will not be there.
You can put him on.
It's okay.
I didn't say I'd have him. I said he's not in last week, but then you can't because you were on the West
Coast. Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'll chime in a minute.
There, and that's
he's
going to
be so... Second. Becky,
but
ahead.
I don't mind if he's there. I like him. I respect him. He's just wrong on a lot of issues.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
That's him attacking Sorkin. Then he starts calling Schumer a traitor. So he calls Hakeem Jeffries low IQ. I feel like he calls only black politicians low IQ. Then he says that Schumer is a traitor for just saying this war is unconstitutional.
It's tough. But we can't let traitors, traitors like Schumer put pressure on you where they say, we want out. Think how bad that is. I'm negotiating with these people. And they're telling us, we have to get out now, we have to get out now, we have to get now. And they were in a war for 18 years. They were in a war for, think of that, Vietnam, 19 years, Iraq, 8 years.
This is the neocon playbook. Republicans in power start a war, get us into a bunch of debt, cut taxes for the rich, cut benefits for the vulnerable. And then when the war begins to backfire, whether it's under Bush, whether it's under Trump, whether it's under any Republican, they blame it on the opposition. They point at the people who were opposed to the war. And during Vietnam, they pointed at Walter Cronkite and said, hey, you quite literally were opposed to Vietnam. You said that people were opposed to it, therefore you're the reason we lost. No, maybe it's the bad decision-making coming from the highest echelons of our government. Let me just recap. Today is negotiation day, where J.D. Vance is heading to the Middle East. Donald Trump is feeling the pressure and feeling the stakes and melting the hell down on CNBC, and we just listened to it. I love you all. I'll see you in the next video. Peace out.